fire that we had this weekend.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Mr. Francis.
Thank you. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask Steve Fowle to talk to you a little bit about the incident that took place Sunday. But I just wanted a few minutes to just say that this is a great opportunity for me to become a member now of the Metro system. I've watched this system for many, many years. Apart, John mentioned the fact that I've been in other places, and he won't hold that against me, like St. Louis and Dallas. But I'm really looking forward to working with you, all the members of the board. It's also a great opportunity for me to be reunited with John. I've worked with him for almost 6 years now. I know him pretty well. I know his visions. And one of the things that I do first when I come to an agency is look at the mission and vision statements. And reviewing yours, which talks about safe, reliable service, I'm going to tell you right now that that's what I'm going to be working toward. Safety is always number one. In my business first, it starts there. There's no exceptions. And we will make this system as safe as as possible for our customers and our employees as well. I'm looking forward to working with all the members in Metro. John has a challenge that he wants the system to be America's best. I believe it's in 3 years. And we're going to do our best to put this system back up. I was talking to Mr. Benjamin, and one of the things that he mentioned to me was that by this system being where it's at, it's always in a fishbowl. And I looked at it like that from a distance, but the same token is it's one of the best systems. And we're going to make it America's best, and we're going to do it for the members of the board, our riding public, our internal customers. And I told Mr. Cato when we talked that I would do it for him as well. So I just wanted to say that and thank you for giving me this opportunity. Now I will turn it over to Steve to give you a short briefing on the incident that took place on Sunday.
Thank you.
Morning. First and foremost, I'd like to inform you that we did investigate the root cause of the failure. We did find it. The system is safe to operate. It is not unique to car number 6017. Here's what we have. We found the root cause to be a filter voltage measuring device that failed simultaneously with software that controls it. In so doing, the ovage, the voltage spike, instead of going to the inverter, went to the resistor grid, heated up the resistor grid, and essentially started a fire. We've worked since Sunday. I've been in contact with the general manager, certainly the deputy general manager, and the president of Walston since Sunday. We've engaged them in a very, very aggressive evaluation and analysis of engineering as to find the root cause of failure. We found it. We duplicated the failure both in France with their chief software engineer and here in the United States. The cars that have this software were changed. The software was changed out so far in 152 cars. 6000 series as well as the Rehab 23K series cars. We need to change out 40 more cars, the software 40 more cars, complete the software change. The cars that didn't get the change out are being monitored. The resistor grids are being monitored, so we make sure that we don't have no opportunity to heat up the resistor. That's the update. We found the root cause of fire. The system is safe. It's safe to operate. We have not taken the fleet out of service. I don't recommend to the general manager that we take the fleet out of service. It is safe to operate.
Thank you, Mr.
Paul.
Any questions to him?
What was, could you just repeat the last sentence?
The last sentence was that the system is safe, the cars are safe to operate.
And then the next sentence? You going to take something or you not?
No, we've changed the software on roughly 152 cars as of this morning.
The last statement,
we're not recommending.
I asked the question, should we remove the cars from service? And the response was, no, they've fixed the problem and they're safe to operate.
Thank you.
Yes.
The
shorthand for what you said, that we had an electrical fire that was caused by a software problem?
It was two failures. The filtering device that sends the voltage overage to the resistor,
that's
failed. and the control software that controls the filter failed simultaneously. Two problems.
So your fix that you've done to 140 cars so far?
152, yes.
That's a software fix?
That's correct. It's a software.
What about the filter?
It will monitor the filter the correct way.
So the part that has to be fixed is the software monitoring of this hardware component.
That's correct. That is correct.
It's not that there's a fundamental problem with those filters. This particular one failed, but you don't believe there's some systemic problem with them.
No, I don't.
You just need to have the software operating properly to monitor it. So.
Correct. And that was the simulation both in France and over here at our rebuild shops.
Okay. Now, given that, that you've determined that cause, and I gather, infer from your statement that that is conceded by the manufacturer of Alstom, I presume that makes them responsible.
That's correct.
Yes.
So they're going to take care of the cost of any fix?
They will take care of the cost of any fix. They've been extremely responsive. They sent their staff down that day to respond to our issue, to ensure that they identified what the problem was, made the commitment to fix it. They will fix the car that was damaged. And we will also have other discussions with them concerning the total cost of the incident.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions regarding that report? None.
And thank you, Madam Chair.
And now I'll turn to Mr. Hughes.
Good morning, Madam Chair. And I'm going to bring you quickly through a small presentation on our Metrobus fleet management plan. In front of you and your package that was mailed in front of you is the plan itself. I'm not going to drag you through all the pages. I'm going to bring you through just the summary that's in your package and also on the screen. But I'm here today as to request the committee to adopt and update our bus fleet management plan. The last time it was done was 3 years ago. Remind the board that this is a planning tool. This is something that we put together, looks in the future, looks at our ridership growth, system requirements in terms of bus fleet, and the facilities to improve that. The plan does not obligate the board to any of the project requirements. We're just laying it out for a future plan as to what we need. So as we develop our future capital programs and our future operating programs, we will build this into it. It also supports all of our federal grants that we apply for, and this plan is required by the FTA to support those future purchases of buses, so we do need an adopted plan. What's in the plan? We start with ridership. We're projecting ridership growth. As you know, our ridership growth this year is about 2% a year on the bus. We're looking in the future. We're projecting that that continue. Over the life of the five-year life of this plan, that means that we would have need for an additional 167 buses. Different from this plan from the last one, we also looked at the utilization of more articulated buses. So this particular plan includes an additional 76 articulated buses. It's a significant growth. It's almost doubling of our existing articulated flight. That helps us respond to the ridership growth, keep some of our operating costs down, and also some of our headways are getting so close, putting extra buses in there is hard to operate. So getting articulated into this is an improvement to our customers. We also included in the plan is our board policy to maintain the system average of 7.5 years. So in it is a replacement of buses, about 100 a year, 400 a year over the next 4 years. And the second additional thing that we put into this plan is as we replace buses, as you'll see on the buses out front today on display, and the most recent ones, newer buses have less room for less seats and less room for customers. So we incorporated that into the plan, saying if you replace 100 buses, you really have to buy more than that to replace the same capacity. That's new to this plan. The plan includes an additional 61 buses over the life of the five-year life of this plan to cover the reduced capacity on our replacement buses. Overall, we're projecting that the authority needs to purchase 628 buses over the life of this plan, 400 for replacement, 228 for growth. I'm bringing our fleet size from the present 1481 up to 1709. Almost done. Also, the plan goes to the maintenance facilities and where we are, what we need to be able to maintain the buses, house the buses. Included in the plan is a lot of detail. I just highlighted a few of them here. One of them is the Westots garage, which we've committed and is under construction. Replacement for Arlington garage includes the expanded southeast garage, which we've talked to. Again, no official action has been taken yet, but is scheduled in the future for the board. We've identified some capability at the Ladensburg facility to expand that facility if we were to move some of the non-revenue equipment out of there and move it to another location. We could expand the capability at our Ladensburg facility. And the last one in there is the replacement of our Wall Street garage. Well, we don't have a site for that. It's not an action the board has already taken, but we've identified that that is a need. If we do all that, we expand our system enough to handle the buses and the growth that we're talking about. So what I'm asking for is a board approval for the committee, committee approval for the plan to bring forward to the board, and remind you that it doesn't commit us to any of these capital projects. It just lays out a plan for the future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there questions? I have one, and I looked at the numbers and that information, and the plan defines the fleet size based upon the ridership and the distribution over routes, et cetera. And, you know, one of the things that I think our Riders Advisory Council came to us with was that we make our shifts in buses based upon the number of riders and the demand along the area. But there are also sometimes conditions or criteria that really don't fall into that. That is, low ridership, but a high need for that. Does that plan address trying to look at that?
It looks at it. We've done a couple of bus service evaluations. The last one was completed about 8-9 months ago, looking at the region to look at not only our existing service but developing markets. Where would we put new types of services? So there is some numbers in here for buses for those particular growth. In the report, it doesn't specifically say that it's going to be this route. It does do it by jurisdiction because we then get the garages, but there is some ability in there to respond to new and growing markets.
And Madam Chair, sorry if I might, we will be bringing back to this committee and the board a look at the whole bus system and the recommended service plan and service standards of operations, and inclusive of exactly as the bus Riders Advisory Committee has informed you and us, looking at how do we develop new markets and what's our strategy for new markets from an operating standpoint, a marketing standpoint, public input standpoint. That is separate and apart from this report. This is vehicles that will be serviced.
That, thank you. That's the place where I was going.
Madam Chair, I do have a question or two. One, I just want to make sure I heard this correctly, and I think it's in the PowerPoint presentation, that this is, you're buying, if we adopt this, we're approving it for planning purposes only and not in terms of any capital expenditures or anything or commitment on that level. And following up to your question regarding distribution, you're looking at the routes and whatnot, but will there be some sort of rough proportionality in terms of the region across the jurisdictions?
I'm sorry, there was a noise.
Well, I was saying, is there some rough proportionality across the particular jurisdictions?
Yes.
And I say rough proportionality. I don't expect it to be precise, but
the first approach will be a look at the need and the anticipated growth and new markets. And then the issue of we have the jurisdictional issues, but we want to make a pure look of regionally, what do we need? And then we get into the discussion about regionally, what can we afford? And what process should we go through to determine what services go where? So that will be part of the process. And just while we're talking about vehicles, since I have the microphone, just for the point of display, we do have vehicles out front. We have a prior direction from the board to purchase new vehicles. I promise you, during the interview process and my first week here, that we have a new look, and we've asked the manufacturers to provide demonstration vehicles to us that our drivers are currently operating and our customers are currently utilizing, so you can have an idea from an image standpoint what direction we're going in vehicles, not colors, but style of vehicles.
Mr. Grant.
We have to be involved in college. I'm sorry, were you finished?
More or less, I may jump back in if there's anything else comes up.
What does this plan have to say about the technology of the buses? In other words, what do we have in here that relates to this board's commitment to CNG, compressed natural gas, and other technologies? What does this plan say on that subject?
Mr. Graham, I believe that the 04 plan did include our commitment to CNG and alternate fuels. I'd have to check to make sure that we carried it through in this one. I believe that it's in there, but I need to check for you.
It's my understanding.
Yes, I'm sorry. My staff is saying yes, it's in there. I looked, and they're shaking heads. Thank you, Vincent. Sorry.
So one quick question about just generally the seat loss policy. Just thinking about, we talk about matching the number of buses we had planned for with the anticipated ridership. I guess another broader question is, how does this, did you overlay the services provided by the jurisdictions, meaning the DC circulator, the ride-on, Fairfax Metro, et cetera, in terms of, you know, as the demand increases, as we know, people are going to be looking for other ways to get into the city other than driving their cars or getting to where they need to get to in the region. I think more and more people are going to be riding buses, either metro buses or other buses. Did we incorporate the demand growth perhaps on those other systems into our calculation for ridership growth?
When we looked at the growth in the region, we look at the overall bus ridership growth in the region. So we get down to the specifics of the plan about what to include in it. There's nothing in here that covers expansion to the circulator or ride-on or Fairfax County that isn't already approved. There's a lot of plans to do such things, but if it wasn't approved specifically, it's not mentioned. But in terms of the overall growth in the region, that is part of it.
If I might, the issue is going to be discussed in several different forms. And I've had a discussion with Mr. Hughes, and after the budget is approved and we move into June, I've asked for a meeting of all the regional operators. And I intend for this to be a bi-monthly meeting at a minimum, where we sit down and begin the process of discussions of coordination route services from a regional standpoint and do exactly what you're saying. It's not the issue that Ramada has to be the operator of everything. There are many operators. I had the opportunity yesterday in Fairfax County to inaugurate new vehicles for the tag service. We need to look at every one of those services, and from a regional standpoint as equal partners, talk about coordination, ensuring that we're providing resources to meet the needs that I believe will come in the future from our bus system. That's step one. Step two is part of which I will talk about a little here in open session and in closed session. We've had two discussions concerning the planning aspect of this organization. And from a long range, 5 years out, we will have a very robust planning function that's going to focus on that. And from the short term of service development and route planning, that will be restructured to also focus on that. So we will not only look at it from our perspective, but it will be an integrated approach from all of the operators to deal with exactly what you asked.
I'm very encouraged to hear that, because I think it's really about both parties, Metro kind of finding its place in the value chain in terms of providing service to the region, and then the regional partners knowing where we need to be or step up to fill the gap.
Yes.
So.
Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the bus management?
So moved.
Second. With second, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, we have a plan approved.
Mention.
Yes.
Before we leave this entirely, I did want to mention there was a hearing recently held in Virginia on Metro bus route changes a couple weeks ago. And there were a number of issues that arose, as they often do when we hold such a hearing. Sometimes they're quiet, and you know, nothing happens, and no one shows up. And sometimes people show up and tell you things you didn't know, like, you know, how'd you bozos get this wrong? And you know, we had a little bit of that. There were a number of proposed changes that were fine, but we had one in there that a whole group of folks came to tell us that, in fact, a particular bus service is a lot more important than apparently showed up in our data, which I think emphasizes the, you know, the issues with the kind of use of criteria that we have in the plan we just adopted. Does depend upon really having good monitoring of what's actually going on out there. And sometimes our data isn't as good, and we've noted in the past that on bus, it's never been of the quality that has been available on rail. We have entries and exits for pretty much everyone in the system. We know it on a daily basis what's going on. Bus, that's not the case. I'm interested in the follow-up to that hearing. I haven't heard anything back yet, but I assume something will be coming on the specific issues that were raised there.
Okay.
You know, I think that that's, I mean, the good news was we had a whole bunch of people coming to tell us they really wanted their bus service. That's positive, but I think there's a more general issue that you know, we need to look at in light of implementing a plan like this. I would also say that I think, you know, sometimes board members conduct these hearings and sometimes they don't. I would like to highly recommend to my colleagues, particularly those who are new, who will soon be getting those opportunities, that you should not miss them. And there's a hearing that's going to be held in your jurisdiction. You know, even when it looks like it's really routine and no one is anticipated, you just never know what you're going to learn. And you do learn something, because there are always folks who show up and tell you something which may not change the recommendation, but I think it's a real good opportunity to hear from people. And I would just, you know, encourage all of my colleagues to take the opportunity to, you know, conduct those hearings in your jurisdiction yourself, or, you know, be present if, when you're doing so, because it really is a very good experience and another way to learn what's going on in our system. And I think the system will be better to extend it if you want to participate directly. So, Mr. Cato, I look forward to, you know, hearing the response from that particular hearing.
Mr. Zimmer, if I can, just specifically as a follow-up to that hearing, we actually have a community meeting set up to go out and talk to those individuals, work with your county staff. I believe that's scheduled for next week. That's why you haven't seen a proposal come back.
I should say that this was, although the route went through my jurisdiction, the hearing was held in my jurisdiction, the particular pocket of folks who came forward belonged to Mayor Ewell.
I was just going
to
say, Madam Chair, we had a public hearing on our budget, operating and capital improvement budget, on Monday, and we had several speakers come to us, not talking about the budget, but talking about the proposed bus route changes. And I've been getting in my office a bunch of emails. I've just been forwarding to our transit folks and said, you know, because it's new, this is all Greek to me, but, you know, you guys deal with it with WMATA. And I've said to the speakers that a decision by WMATA, the board, has not been made yet, but certainly, as Mr. Zimmerman has candidly pointed out, it appears that whatever the recommendations or the initial proposals to change particularly the 7B route or to delay it has been done without a lot of facts, and there are just people up in arms with the fact that you know, this is being proposed, but yet the bus routes and the buses seem to be at capacity, if not over capacity, and so I would encourage staff to seriously reconsider that.
Madam Chair, yes. Just not to, you know, not to drag this out, but I think the point that I didn't make that's relevant to this, part of what I think may have happened, the folks who came forward, a lot of them are in brand new condominiums just built, and you know, one of the concerns I've had and that I was referring to with the question of our data is for the bus on the bus side, it's often lagged quite a bit. And so with development happening quickly in a lot of places, you can really miss changes. I don't know that this is the case, but I suspected that we have a whole community of people who hadn't been there before. And so, you know, you look at the numbers and say, gee, no one's riding this bus. But in fact, a lot has changed in precisely the last 12 to 18 months. And one of the things that was most interesting and frankly encouraging was these folks who came were all new condo owners who said, I moved here so I could take the bus because I was tired of driving to work. And so I moved from farther out to this place, you know, that had this bus, regular bus service. And now, you know, they're looking to take it away from me. So, you know, obviously that's a concern. But there is a good message here, too, which is people actually are trying to use our service and making decisions about where they live based on it.
And that is good. And that's how we're taking that. And we are responding and going out to the community. From a broader perspective, I did have a discussion with the planning department. It has been several years since we've done the analysis that you spoke of. And that is remaining in the FY08 budget, and we are moving forward and updating our information on the bus system because there are a lot of demands. So I'm happy to hear that people are moving so they can take a bus. And we need to encourage that, and as part of our strategies as we move forward.
Okay. Thank you very much for that brief discussion. There's no other business before the Customer Service Operation Committee, so we move for adjournment and move into the Finance Administration Oversight Committee.